This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is the Lefty Pinkos with Brian and Emma. We're here for another week and we've got someone special in the studio with us tonight, Grant Howie.
Pretty exciting, yes. Yeah, Grant's written a book called The Story of an Accidental Drag Queen, the story of Prissy DuPont's. And it's actually a really fun camp book that's been produced and presented by La Bouche Books. You may remember back a couple of months ago, we had KL Joy, who was talking about the Oz Kink Fest and La Bouche Books' involvement with that. And so she actually got us onto Grant, and we've been, basically saying, Grant, we want you to come in and let us read your book first, basically, and so we can talk about this fantastic book, The Story of an Accidental Drag Queen. I must confess, though, listeners, I've only read half of the book, but it is an enticing read. It's camp, it's funny, and he's a beautiful writer, so I'm pretty excited that we've got Grant in this week. And, you haven't had a chance to read it because I've monopolised the book. So.
You have, but that's okay. You have spoken very highly of it, though, and I'm excited we may get to hear a little bit of the book on air tonight, so that's exciting.
I'd like to think but stick around on Lefty Pinkos, because it's a great show lined up. Emma and Brian here, and we thought we'd pull out some music that kind of relates to, I guess, drag queens, and Prissy has actually got a bit of a country twang to what she does in the book, so we thought we'd pull out some camp kind of country too to coincide with our chats with Grant Howie.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
That's right. That's Kathy Freeman, and it's Brian and Emma here presenting Lefty Pinkos. And we have in the studio Grant Howie, who joins us. He's a writer, a very funny, witty writer, who has written a book called The Story of Prissy DuPont, The Story of an Accidental Drag Queen. But thanks for joining us tonight on Lefty Pinkos, Grant.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
Now, I guess, just tell us a bit about who you are and, like, yeah, I guess, a bit of your background, because it's quite, I mean, you currently work at Bunnings, and that just, I still can't get my pretty little head around the fact that you've written this beautifully camp novel and you work in this testosterone-fueled space called Bunnings. But, yeah, tell us, in your own words, who Grant Howie is.
Oh, dear. Well, I could start over 50 years ago when it all began, but, you know, that's an old one. I've worked in all sorts of places. I went to summer camp in America 3 times in the 80s. I've been writing probably since that time. I probably have 30 or 40 stories on my computer waiting to pop out, and I always come up with new ones. The Prissy DuPont story, she was born only 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And that took me 2 weeks to get an outline done. And that was when I was working in town, and I wasn't working for Bunnings at the time. Bunnings is just had to be a change. And, yeah, so that's sort of in a nutshell.
And music plays a big part in your stories as well, I think. Is that?
Absolutely. Actually, the inspiration for Prissy came from a single song. And it was one when I saw the video clip to match the song. I was thinking, I can see drag queens doing that song. Yeah. I actually still don't know if drag queens have actually done this song, but I could imagine.
What song was that?
The song was Candyman by Christina Aguilera.
Yep, so I've seen drag queens do that.
So have you?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
so that was what I thought. I could imagine three drag queens, and from that thought, it just went crazy for the next sort of 2 to 3 weeks as I penned the outline for what became this story. And of course, it gets shaped and misshaped and reshaped and changed and all sorts of stuff in the 2 or 3 weeks that I took it. And then
we happened across you through the wonderful KL Joy, who came in on Lefty Pinkos a couple of months back, and she is from La Bouche Books, and you're a bit of a partner, I guess, is what she called you.
Yep.
In La Bouche. But can you tell us about the company and recap our listeners' memories?
I actually looked at the slogan and I've forgotten it already, but it Labouche is
actually, it's funny because KL did exactly the same thing.
She did the same thing. So I had to look it up and thinking, oh, yes, that's what it is. And of course, yeah, I haven't got it written down either. So bad us. But we decided.
That's the marketing department's gig anyway. So
That's her. She's marketing. That's her job. We were talking about it. She was talking about the fact that she had so much trouble getting the book through a particularly US distributor. Mm-hmm. And so she got her rights back. And I'd actually helped her when I was doing more self-publishing and co-publishing. So I think basically it came down to like vanity publishing, helped her get that very first book out into the market. And then we were chatting as a result of what happened last year. In January, we sat down and we decided we're going to do this ourselves. Over the past 7 years that I've known her, we've learnt so much more about the publishing industry, what we need to do, you know, what we can do, what we can't do, what we need to try and do, what we need to learn to do. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things was the struggle to find a publisher who could actually understand the writer mm-hmm. of the particular style. And with KL, it's very much BDSM oriented. And just finding a publisher who really understood what that writer was about and what they were trying to say. So we got together, and she knew about Prissy. She's basically been with Prissy because I met KL in a writer's group mm-hmm. where I was workshopping Prissy. So that's why she affectionately calls her Madam like I do. Hey, she just got called Madam. And as a result of that, and we decided that we just, you know, we would try and see what we could do to target the writer, but not necessarily the writing, which is what she says. So we look at the kinky and or queer writer. Mm-hmm. So if you identify as being a kinky and or a queer writer, then we're happy to talk to people and see if there's anything that we can do. I guess the basis behind that is that if you identify as a kinky and or queer writer, inherently your writing is going to be kinky and or queer, but not always the case.
Yep. I remember her saying that, yeah, there's a real, I guess, I mean, and I saw it as a very sincere approach to publishing, but also there was something that, authentic is the term that I think she used in terms of just basically saying, we want to be authentic when we present, like queer or kinky writing within the world, and we actually want to source writers and people who are embedded or involved with those communities, to call them communities, I guess. but yeah, and I just remember saying, thinking there's a real sincerity about what you guys are doing with Labouche, so yeah. But if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. It's Emma and Brian here, and we're chatting to Grant Howie. We'll be back after these announcements.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
You're on Joy 94.9. It's Lefty Pinkos with Brian and Emma, and we're joined by Grant Howie tonight. He's an author. And Grant, tell us and tell our listeners a bit about Prissy DuPont. You've talked about her, that she's been around for about seven years, and you talk about her as if she's a friend. So tell us a bit about
this
her.
This one, she is a friend. She's more than a friend. I mean, the way I've written the story, it's in the first person. So you can't help but become slightly more involved, but it's also very finite because you're very limited in what you talk about. But you get involved with the character. So whilst the character's not me, and I'm not the drag queen, you do get involved because you're always talking in the I, and you can't help but become the character because you're constantly having to write and think, I did this, I did that, I did this, because I'm writing from the perspective of the creator of the drag queen in the story. So it does become family, because especially when you re-edit it, you rework it, you have friends look over it, they, you know, forever saying it's a great book, you've got to get it out there, and KL has been on my ass on my back.
It's joy you can say that.
Yeah. For probably the last 4 years to get this book out. Mm-hmm. And so they say things happen when they're supposed to happen, so this is obviously the right time because it just got there. It happened.
I'm glad it's happened. It's a good thing that KL's has been on your ass because you are a beautiful writer, Grant. And I mean, having read about half of the book now, I just, you have got a good camp sense of humour. Like, you're very funny on the page, which is a hard thing to pull off. You've got a really nice. I was just saying to Emma before we came in and knew that you've got a really nice way of dealing with dialogue, which again is, I guess, a bit of a hard thing when it comes to, you know, kind of presenting a person's story and their environment. And you deal with conversation and dialogue in a really admirable way. And I guess in terms of your authority on drag, Kath, our former co-host, has sort of suggested that I'm a bit of a have a bit of an obsession with drag. I actually run Out Black, which is this Aboriginal queer group, and we present drag. And you know, I wrestle with it. You know, I don't think I love drag, but I can admire it. And reading your book, I think you've got a real authority on the drag world. I've been behind the scenes. I've seen the kind of, you know, the front end of it, and you know, I've kind of experienced the joys, the highs, the lows, the bitchiness, all that kind of stuff. And you are an authority with this particular book. And where did that come from? Because it's, you know, it's, yeah, you haven't done drag, have you?
No, I have not done drag. As strange as that will be, and if other people get to read the book, they're going to say, "What, you mean he hasn't done drag?"
But yeah, I find that astounding. Excuse me. Yeah.
But I have done theatre.
Yep.
So I've been involved in amateur theatre. So I do have an appreciation of how makeup gets put on and what you need to do to be able to get it off quickly. Costume changes. You know, I've actually written, produced, directed, acted in sometimes the same show, let alone the other roles in other shows. So you know, understanding the costumes. I think it's because I am a very creative person, and as readers may discover when they get a copy of the book, the jewelry that's on the front of the book I own.
Yeah.
I sourced pieces of jewelry to be able to give me visual cues when I write. And it just so happens that I've used them in the cover, in the cover art. So, you know, I can have collections of all sorts of things. I'm always thinking of creative ways of putting things in front of me to help me write better. Yeah. And the jewelry was probably the main thing I put together as I was writing the book to help me focus on the character and then get that character going.
Give us a little background on the story, how the accidental drag queen comes about.
Well, it actually became, it's always been Prissy DuPont's, it's always been the main title. The subtitle, The Story of an Accidental Drag Queen, was really only added just this year, probably only 2 months before we did the print run and did the cover, which suits it really down to the ground, because that's basically what it is. The basic premise, the main character, Peter, he is on the committee for his company's Christmas function. Everyone else on the committee wants drag suddenly because everyone else in the industry is having drag queens at their Christmas function.
And of course, that comes corporate gigs with drag.
That comes from my Optus days.
I hear similar things happened at Telstra too.
We had drag queens at some of our gigs, and I mean, they're always a ball.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that happens. He then started to research who he could get. He went through all the obvious. They were regulars at one of the hotels in the story. Couldn't get that drag queen. Nobody could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said to his partner, "What if I created a drag queen?" And the partner laughed, and the boyfriend hit him, and so it goes on. But he ended up creating the drag queen.
Yeah.
The partner said, "You need to bring this drag queen out before the Christmas party." So it goes on. You see the first performance. You go through, and it's really just then, from then on, it's the meteoric rise of the drag queen to the point where she now, by the end of the story, they own a hotel, a building next door, which they turn into an entertainment complex.
See, don't give it away yet, because I haven't forgotten that bit. Yeah, because I'm captivated.
And have the tissues at hand as well.
Excellent.
I will only say that much. You need to have a box of tissues.
Yeah, don't be a spoiler on Lefty Pinkos.
Because you've only read half it. I was trying to not, you know, skip a lot. I won't tell you the climax.
Yeah, okay, cool. Because no, there's lots of climaxes throughout it in terms of, you know, like you are great writer, Grant. So,
which means you probably haven't come to the artificial breast segment then.
I have read that bit. Like the materials that you consider, they're hilarious. Like they're just kind of, it's like, what the? And I guess on that, did you actually?
No.
Okay.
No, I did not experiment. Okay. Well, apart from the fact that I'd had heard that birdseed had been used, and of course, you know, the to form. And so I'm as intrigued here. I just took that idea in my mind and thought, okay, well, that would not really work. You've got to make it a little bit more moldable. And so, you know, then came corn flour and rice and dry rice and soggy rice and
olive oil's mentioned too, listeners. Yeah.
And that the partner tells Peter off for playing with his food at the dinner table, but that's how he got his idea about to use the rice. They were having rice, and so he said, okay, this might work. And so he was off in another planet. Yeah. And of course, there's the shoe shopping and the wig shopping and the
and the dressmaking and the costume
and the dressmaking, I used family because it was easier to introduce family characters to make the dresses and stuff.
Before we go to our announcements, I just want to ask you, like, there's a real warmth in your writing in terms of, I mean, I mentioned earlier that the drag industry or the scene can be quite bitchy, catty, and competitive. And you've got a real warmth to the way you present this story, and it's actually based in this relationship. And it's deliberate, all that stuff. Why did you deliberately want to house it in such a warm and, I mean, for want of a better word, fuzzy way, I guess, yeah.
Deliberately made the couple, the main couple in the story, have been together for 15 years because of everything that's going on around outside about same-sex relationships, how, you know, they're not going to last long. Some don't last long, some last forever. But the fact that two men can be together, love each other for an extended period of time and not cause a problem to anybody else. Mm-hmm. And that was my deliberate decision. I wanted to show that they can have, you know, they are stable relationships.
Yeah.
And they have their ups and downs. They fight a little bit. They get grumpy with each other. They, you know, scrag each other. But they are a stable couple.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in this new kind of innovation of being a drag queen after, 15 years, it's just, you know, there's that real sense of support within that development.
Peter did it because he did theatre in college.
Yeah.
So he mentions that at some stage. Mm. So he's got that history that's thrown into that character.
Yep. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Lefty Pinkos, and we're actually going to ask Grant to read us a snippet after these announcements. But if that's okay, so you just get your voice ready there, Grant. But we'll be back with
Find
more
right
Grant Howie and our chats here on Lefty Pinkos.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
We're here with Grant Howie, the author of Pissy...
It was bound to happen. Grant did it before we came into the studio.
Prissy DuPont's The Story of an Accidental Drag Queen. And Grant, if you can stop laughing, perhaps you can do a reading for us now. It's going to be...
Emma's got this, if you've ever tuned into us before, we've got this hilarious thing about live reads, and we find them hard to do without laughing, and you're going to make Grant do just the same. Can you compose yourself, Grant? And we're going to turn our backs to you and so we don't promote anything. But this is Grant A. Howie reading from his story, Prissy DuPont's The Story of an Accidental Drag Queen. You're listening to Joy.
Is she up my chute yet? That was my cue. I walked along the hall. Peachy was still on stage. As I stood there, I rubbed my hands over each other repeatedly, waiting, waiting, waiting. Suddenly it hit me. My name was just announced. I took several quick breaths to try to calm myself, smoothed my dress, ran my hand gently over my wig. I began looking around for a shiny surface to check my makeup. I spotted the large mirror on the wall in the back lounge. Although I'd only had time to smile and make sure there were no lippy on my teeth or spinach, my music started. The crowd was polite with their applause as I stepped on stage. I bustled past a couple of guys right by the stage and gracefully climbed the two steps to the top. I gazed out over the sea of faces. Some turned to their neighbours and yabbered about who knows what. I wonder what they're thinking. Who's this upstart? Probably. She doesn't look anything special. The ceiling fans were rippling the rainbow-coloured banners hanging from the roof. I saw Peachy watching from the end of the bar. It was different being on stage. I was used to being in the dark, watching others on the semi-spotlit stage. Now it was my turn to be under those same lights. For the very first time on stage, I had chosen to sing one of my rewritten songs. The intro swelled and I started. Mascaraed lashes so long and so flashy. Lips of bright colour, you'd think I was trashy. I am an angel with silvery wings. I am a diva with plenty of bling. Over the music and the incessantly loud beating of my own heart, I could hear the crowd laughing and occasionally cheering. I watched a few faces in the front couple of rows grimace slightly at the choice of song I'd chosen to rewrite. Boys in tight blue jeans with smoothed and tanned faces, muscular chest tied with leathery braces, tattoos are tribal and platinum rings, these are a few of my favourite things. However, they changed when I teased them during the second verse. I continued to sing the next few verses and choruses and move about the stage. With the song I'd chosen, it was easy to extend it and make it a little more interesting. I spotted Alex in the crowd, smiling proudly. I saw someone lean into him and he shook his head. I realised I was coming to the end of the song, and as I did a spin, I caught my reflected image in the large mirror hanging at the back of the stage. The blue of the dress, the sequins twinkling, made me slightly teary. I can't believe this is going so well. I gave it everything I had.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're with Joy 94.9. It's Lefty Pinkos here, and I don't know what happened there. That was a really pained advertisement.
I thought it was an interesting background noise. I was concerned.
I thought it was you, Emma, initially, you know, kind of making sounds, and then I thought it was Grant, actually. I did too. I looked to see if it was Grant. Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, so the reading continues. But if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Lefty Pinkos. It's Brian and Emma, and we're chatting to the delightful Grant Howie, a writer who has published and partnered up with LaBush Books. KL Joy, shout out to you. You're listening, I know you're out there. But yeah, he gave us a bit of a reading, and so I thought maybe that reading continued there. But I guess we want to get into your sex. I mean, you've never done drag. No. Performance, which just astounds me. But tell us about your sexuality and who you are in that sense, Grant.
Well, very late bloomer. Yeah. I spent a lot of time growing up in church circles.
Yeah?
I mean, that was a choice at the time, but when I was sort of pushing towards my late 30s, it became more of an issue inside me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to make a decision which way it was going to go, so I decided which way I was going.
Yeah.
Officially not out to my family, so if they're listening, well, hi. By chance. You know, any of my wider family, if they happen to be listening, yeah, well, hi. Yeah, I guess I'm out now. But I guess because of that background,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're not...
You don't think it'll be well received? Or
I guess this is a real soul confession. I've always been afraid of rejection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there's always that side of you know, being rejected, being tossed out of the family. Look, it may happen, but there's that little bit there that says, yeah, what if it does happen and where you're going to go?
Yeah.
Look, I mean, from that perspective, if I want to go somewhere, I can always move to America.
Actually, they're Washington, much more
D.C.,
right-wing.
Washington, D.C. in particular.
Why? What goes on there?
It's not what, it's a who.
Who?
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 There's a very special friend over
there. Okay, yeah. Okay, cool.
He's currently asleep.
Well, he might be streaming us on the World Wide Web.
He didn't actually ask for... Well, I told him what it is. So he may have found it, but he didn't say that he was going to.
Yeah.
He's more likely going to be asleep. But met him online, been chatting for 2 years. I went and saw him earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
Went on a holiday to the States.
And was it fireworks after...
It was like we'd always known each other.
Yeah?
Like, that's what it was. It was... I mean, the bizarre part was, well, I was traveling with another friend, and we were coming in from San Francisco to Washington, D.C. by train. And we'd pulled out of Chicago the night before we were arriving in D.C. Half an hour out of Chicago, train stopped dead. We'd clipped a car. We were there for 4 hours. We ended up being 6 hours late into D.C. So all I had time to say was, hi. And he had to go to work at 6:30.
Okay.
So that was all we had time for. His flatmate took me and my friend back to their place to freshen up, and we were then going to go back to pick him up after work to go out for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like 5 minutes. Hi, didn't so we plan was to have the afternoon together before he would go into work, but no, that didn't happen.
Yeah, oh, well, you know, accidents do happen, as is the case with Chrissy.
Yes, but yeah, it was like we'd always known each other. So it was really good from that perspective. So I could always move there if something happens, but that's where I am at the moment.
I think it's so interesting, like, given your background and, you know, you said you're a late bloomer coming out late, that you've now, you know, a published author and you know, running this publishing company with KL as well. It's a really interesting mix.
Well, before KL and I officially started this one, there's actually a parent company to that, which I started almost 8 years ago, December 2006. I'd actually self-published another book, which is actually just I rewrote because it needed a bit more work on it. So there's a parent company over the top of LaBouche, but LaBouche is still a separate entity for what it's going to publish, but it's sort of in part of this wider family. So I've been writing, and that particular story in the copyright page says that I started writing it in 1986. So
just a little bit of time and work went into it.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Joy 94.9. It's Emma and Brian, and we're chatting to Grant Howie about his fantastic book and his publishing house, LaBouche Books. We'll be back.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
It's Joy 94.9 and Lefty Pinkos with Brian and Emma, and we're joined by Grant tonight. What is up next for LaBouche Books?
Tricky one. We've got another book of KL's to produce next year. If I can pull my finger out, so to speak, I've got three more prissy books to write.
You've got a serious plan, though, haven't you? Like,
yes, I keep popping up with new ideas. One of the books is a flow on directly from this one. Whether it becomes the second book or the third book, I don't know yet, because one of the characters in there, you'll get to read when you get to it. I won't give it away.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
Becomes that drag queen and prissy become the main theme for the next book. There's another one where I put drag queens in space, which has sort of been done before, but this is going to be slightly different. And then I have Prissy doing a fashion show. So drag queens doing a fashion parade, a serious fashion parade at that.
That is camp.
So, that's from personally, that's what's coming up. But, yeah, next year it's really about trying to push the... push Kale's new book. We trying to get an anthology off the ground, so trying to introduce new writers to the reading public. Mm-hmm. Probably more along the lines of a BDSM book again, but that's where KL sits, and that's cool. So that's really what we're trying to get to. Who knows? We may have other authors who want to contact us and say we'd like to talk about getting a book out. What can we do? So we'll look at that. Still trying to get on top of the electronic market. And also, we're going to be heavily investigating ethical publishing, which is what KL was talking about last time as well.
Yeah.
I think when KL was on the show, it was just before, so that was back in early September. It was just before you went to the Fetish Expo.
That's right.
How did that go? Tell us about that.
That was good. We got some good sales. I guess just getting the LaBouche name out there and letting people know that we're out there, what we're doing.
I was looking for something a bit juicier. Do you have any?
No, not quite. Maybe next year. We'll be back next year.
Did you read something from LaBouche, like KL's book, perhaps? Because that's quite juicy. I understand, isn't it?
Like,
she's an erotica, BDSM.
Very. What I've said to some people is that if you have read 50 Shades, this is 50 Shades further on.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, 50 Shades, then you have the real stuff. As others would say, you have the real stuff.
Yeah, there's an authenticity to what you say.
Well, I mean, as Kale said, she's been there, she's done that.
Yeah.
So she's really putting herself into those stories.
Mm-hmm. I guess I want to go back to your chats about religion, because a couple of weeks ago we had a guy called Mark Shepherd and Murray from up Queensland who came in and said that church, he was an Aboriginal queer guy, and he had to balance out that, I guess, the church and his identity, and he spoke of the church as being very influential on his theatre and his performance. Has it been involved?
Well, that's where a lot of my amateur theatre was.
Yep, in the church. Tell us about that.
Well, it's just the different musicals and stuff that we did within that. But I guess I can I won't ever deny the fact that shaped who I am.
Mm-hmm.
As far as you know, I guess my underlying ethics and morals and all that sort of stuff. And because of the length of time I spent there and what I did and the studies that I did, to stay in there, I would feel too much of a hypocrite with what they believe and what I now am, who I now am. So that's really where it sits for me. Some people say, no, you can do both, but for me, I can't. It's just that is a very strict line for me. I could, you know, there's enough hypocrites in the world, you know, in or out of the church. Yep. Don't need another one if I can help it.
Yeah. And so do you observe faith still? Like, do you go to church? And
no, is it sort I don't. Of that I don't attend.
Yep.
But I don't specifically deny. I just don't talk about it, I guess, as much, because it's just not part of who I am. But it is part of who I am. It's one of those funny things. It shaped who I am. But, you know, there's that new shape to me now as well.
Yeah.
And I think we all probably have those things, like, even aside from religion, you have things that have shaped you, but then, you know, they're no longer a part of, you know, necessarily who you are as you get a bit older. Yeah.
But they still underpin your values and the way you
live your
life. I think
that's for me, that's where the real shaping happens, and the values and the morals and the ethics and that sort of stuff.
You're with Lefty Pinkos here on Joy 94.9, and we're chatting. If you've just tuned in, we're chatting to Grant Howie, and it's been actually wonderful. But tell us a bit about La Bush. KL sent us in a few emails, actually, Emma. Do you want to just give them a bit of a plug?
Oh, she has. She's she's told us that we're sounding great. Of course,
thanks, KL.
And just reminded everybody, we would have raised this back in September, but everyone can go to the La Bush website to buy the Prissy. I need to be careful saying that now. Prissy DuPont's book, and it's labushbooks.com. And she's also just commented on the cover art as well. And Grant, you touched on the fact before that that's your jewelry on the cover. It's actually your hand as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I was the hand model wearing the jewelry for the photo shoot. Which is really hard to describe, it works because we are radio.
No, it's sort of, like, it works well. But, I mean, if you want to, go to the La Bush website and get a copy of the book, because, like I said, I'm halfway through it, and it is a fantastic read. And Grant is actually somebody that, like, I mean, just tell us about, because you've got a really beautiful way of writing, like I said, with conversations. But in terms of, the way you present costumes, you know what you're on about. Where does that come from?
Probably because
fashion.
My involvement in the theatre.
Yep.
It would be my involvement in the theatre and just knowing, you know, putting costumes together and writing a lot of fantasy stuff and thinking about fantasy costumes and just knowing what I would like to see on stage on a performer. That's probably where that's come from, rather than having done it or seen it. It's what I would like to see on that stage. But one thing I just wanted to quickly touch on with the book, don't restrict yourself. If you have a straight grandmother or aunt, buy the book for them. When I was doing the writers group putting this together, everybody apart from KL was straight, and they couldn't get enough of Madam, couldn't get enough of Prissy DuPont's. KL's mother loves the book. She raves about the book.
Yeah. Now, there's a beautiful sense of community around it too. Like, I mean, not just with the relationship, but just in terms
everybody.
Of, like, yeah, you know, who comes to support, you know, even in the workplace, but also just who comes to support Prissy and her performances.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, there is a real strong warmth that I mentioned earlier that's in the book. And, it shines off the pages. You're listening to Joy 94.9. We're chatting to Grant Howie, and we're going to play some Dolly Parton. I picked out some camp sort of drag classics as part of this week's music, but I've plucked out some Dolly Parton because Prissy's first performance is around, got sort of country themes to it, a bit of twang. So I thought, let's go with some Dolly Parton, and this is her song, Mule Skinner Blues. You're listening to Joy.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Oh, yeah, you're with Joy 94.9. Nothing like a bit of twang, a bit of country, a bit of Dolly there for you. That was her and Mule Skinner Blues. A great song features Dolly's yodeling. You're not really big on country, though, are you, Emma?
I'm not, but I do love a bit of Dolly, though. Like, I think everybody does, surely.
Yeah, our new program producer's hovering in the studio with us, and she's like, oh, the hair on that on Dolly is great. It's fantastic. So, yeah, a bit of a visual plug to Dolly Parton on that level too. But
it's, and Brian's in the bad books already.
Actually, we're going to have to say goodbye soon. But yeah, I just want to say thanks, Grant, for coming in and chatting to us. It's really nice to have you in here.
No, been a pleasure.
And I guess, yeah, just give that website another plug, if that's okay. It's LaBush Books. It's www.labouche.com. Check out, you can get Grant's novel online via labouchebooks.com. It's a fantastic read. I look forward to seeing the rest of it, or reading the rest of it, rather. thanks again.
Look, who knows, you might see it one day. I'd love to make it in a movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, I think it's got that potential. Like, yeah, it does, very much so. Like, she's a great character, Prissy, so you should be very proud. But next week, Emma.
Next week is very exciting. It is Joy's 21st birthday, so we'll be doing a special show for that. We can't give too much away at this stage. We want people to, keep the, excitement there building for next week. There might be some former guests that we'll hear from, some former co-hosts perhaps might be in touch.
Oh, I'd like to think so.
And we've been talking a lot of drag tonight, obviously. Mm-hmm. Out Black, Brian, that's something that you're involved with, and there is a show coming up.
Yeah, there's an Out Black show that's just been announced. It's called I'm Dreaming of an Out Black Christmas, and it's going to be presented down at the Spiegel Tent in Collingwood at 35 Johnston Street, I do believe. It's in the Circus Oz space. You may have heard Joy broadcast from the Keith Haring mural a few months back. Well, it's there. The Spiegel Tent set up there, and Out Black are going to basically blacken it up with a very camp and twinkly Christmas show. So there'll be, your favourite Out Black drag queens, and they'll be doing a bit of a Christmas show. Hopefully there'll be Santa Claus and just a lot of fun in the Spiegel Tent. Tickets are available now. You can go and get them from the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service. Track down I'm Dreaming of an Out Black Christmas on Facebook, and it has all the details about where to get tickets, how much they are, and who will be performing. But yeah, it'll be a fantastic night, so do get along to check that out.
This will be my first Out Black event that I attend. I'm very excited about it.
But Grant, actually, we mentioned too that we'd like to maybe give a few books away for as part of our 21st birthday. Can you offer our listeners or Joy a few books?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
I can do that.
Cool. Well, thanks again for coming in. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Stick around. We've got the Transpositions crew up next with Kurt. But, you'll be listening to Lefty Pinkos.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.